December 10th, 2005, you're listening to Nowhere in Mulberry, episode 15.
Startup sequence.
Hey everybody, it's another week here in Mulberry. I'm the Jaystrom. Week 15. I make it sound like it's some kind of marathon that we're doing, like as many podcasts as we can.
But I think it is.
But this is episode 15 of Nowhere in Mulberry. Right now I don't have Steven with me. I don't know where the hell he is. Maybe he'll turn up. I've got to admit, like, he's got a drinking problem, and he's been showing up to the show drunk lately.
Yeah, he's got a bit of a vodka problem. He ended up somewhere in the Arctic Circle.
I've been trying to hide this, and but I realize I'm not helping him by keeping it a secret at all. We need an intervention.
We need an intervention, yeah.
He's always, like, you know, predator snorting. He's predator snorting vodka up his nose is what he's doing.
Good Lord, that would burn.
Yeah, it would. And it's just really sad. Now, Bill, you're actually here in the studio with us because something kind of crazy has happened at your library.
Yeah, after the zombies broke in and I was in the attic, they eventually found out how to use a ladder and they got up into the attic.
Uh-oh.
But at the moment I thought I was truly to become one of the undead, this amazing man, gosh, what was his name? Something, Hawk, I think it was Stringfellow Hawk.
Holy crap!
Really nice guy. He comes out of the, zooming over my library in this beautiful black helicopter.
Dude, that's awesome.
I think he called it Airwolf. And
that's awesome,
he rescued me. And then this guy with an eye patch shook my hand. I had no idea who he was.
Sinjin, maybe? I don't know.
I can't remember his name. I think it was something like that.
Well, that's great. So Stringfellow Hawk swooped down, picked you up. Were you like, you know, what did they, in Hurricane Katrina, people?
Yeah, they put me in a basket, and then he kicked the Airwolf into full turbo mode, and I just kind of sailed behind it.
So are the zombies still there in your house?
Retarded!
I believe they are. I think my house is no longer my house. It's the zombie party house.
Oh, man. So we're going to have to build you a new house or something, you know?
I suppose.
We could drop a bomb on top of it. Every once in a while, I do hear like this fast like helicopter fly overhead, and I'm always wondering what it is. So that's Airwolf?
Yeah, that's Stringfellow Hawk. It's stolen. Whoa. Airwolf.
He just went by. I remember on the TV show Airwolf, didn't it kind of sound like a TIE fighter?
Yeah, it did.
It'd be like, what the hell is that?
I think they looted the LucasArts sound lab.
Yeah. Now, let me explain where Vanessa is right now. Vanessa cannot be with us this week. The reason being is that, you know, she's
not a wimp.
I'm very hurt.
She's not feeling well. She's got the sickness. She's down with the sickness.
Vanessa.
Yeah, she's not feeling well. She's
under the weather.
She's got a sore throat.
Roll down.
She told me all day that she would be here to do the news, and then the last minute I called her, she said, I just want to sleep. Oh. And then, so unfortunately, we won't have Vanessa this week. So
I'm sorry, Annie Mae. It's going to be a sausage fest.
Yeah, it's going to be all guys. So for all you Vanessa fans, just click stop right now.
We'll give you a few moments to do it.
Yeah, just come on, hit the thing. Just access your files and turn it on.
Files accessed.
Well, you know, hey, you can tell who else we have here, and that's Foggy. Foggy's always here. He's got nothing else to do. In fact, he has a little cot in the corner, and he just sleeps here. He lives here. So I don't think he ever leaves.
No, I don't think he does either.
Now,
I know he stole some of my pornography last time he visited, so I'm going to have to get that back now that my library's being enjoyed by the undead.
Isn't that weird? Like, some guy comes over and he's just like, hey, can I borrow this? And it's like...
Well, he really didn't ask. He just kind of took it.
So he stole porn from you?
Yeah.
Wow. That's just...
I know it's desperate, but sometimes a man's got to have his porn.
That's just lowest of the low.
Yeah.
You're really just a bad person, Foggy.
Nasty.
Yes, you are. All right. Now, Steven's not here because he is in another state, which I said, but he is in a state that I want you to guess. I have where in the hell is Steven game, okay?
I dropped a hint earlier.
The pop culture zealot. Now, he's a place that it's very cold right now. Now, it's cold.
Not all the time.
Yeah, not all the time. It is right now, and sometimes there are moose. Or is that the right... Is plural of... No, one moose or mole. Two moose is just moose, right? It's not...
Yeah,
it's not
it's
Mises.
Just moose. No, it's not Mises.
Now, hey, before Steven joins us this week on Nowhere in Mulberry, which is nothing like Mayberry, just so anyone who's listening for the first time, I want you to know that our show is nothing like Mayberry. The town we live in is called Mulberry. It's a small town, but I don't visit Floyd the Barber. I don't go to Aunt B's house. I don't know Barney Fife or anything like that. So I just wanted to make that clear to you if this is your first time. We talk about movies, TV shows, you know, pop culture. We talk about video games, you know, actors.
Yeah, there's not much else to do here in Mayberry.
Yeah,
I mean, Mulberry.
That's the whole point. Nowhere in Mulberry. There's nothing here. We talk about things outside. It's like I am in a underground bunker and all I got is a computer and a TV with 500 channels. This is what we're talking about, all right?
That's a great thing.
Steven, is that you? So anyway, I just want to make that clear to our listeners that, you know...
Yeah, if you haven't been listening from 1 to episode 15, you may not know.
Right, and I don't mean for it to be like that. It just kind of, our show has progressed over time where we talked a lot about the town at first, but this is 15 episodes later, man. We got to get past that, all right?
It was a novel idea.
There's nothing more to talk about.
Everyone.
All right, Bill, let's not wait on the pop culture zealot because obviously he's late and he breathes loud and he's got a lot of problems. He's an alcoholic. He's a Scientologist. But let's go on to something else. And I noticed this week on Film Threat site, filmthreat.com, which used to be a movie magazine that I used to read all the time, but now it's just a website. I guess they stopped.
When did they stop printing the magazine?
I think like mid-90s or something. You know,
okay.
I used to buy it all the time, and all of a sudden one day I couldn't find it anymore. I assumed that the bookstore just wasn't carrying it. And then one day I look online, and there it is. They just do all their reviews and stuff on their website, which is cool. Well, I don't have to pay for it.
Well, not only that, but it's probably a smart idea now. I mean, there's so many magazines out there now, and it costs a lot of money to print magazines. And if nobody buys them, you're out of luck.
Yeah, and I recommend the site just for movie reviews. They do mostly indie movies, but they also love to make fun of... you know, the big budget movies, and they'll give it good reviews if it's a good movie.
Yeah, they're not completely jaded,
but they kind of spoofed how, you know, how like Premiere Magazine has the top 100, you know, most powerful people in Hollywood, or the most beautiful people in the world, like from People Magazine. Just ridiculous lists, you know,
your
like
typical fluffy crap that comes out in all those. Premiere, what else is there? Entertainment Weekly, can't forget that one.
Well, this for this month, or I guess it's an annual thing, I didn't see it last year, but Film Threat's Frigid 50, the coldest people in Hollywood, the top 10.
Which now, by coldest, what do they mean? Do they mean people that, like, least powerful, or...
Yeah,
just no personality
or
something?
Right, it means all of the above, like...
Okay.
Either their career is cold, their personality is cold, their life is cold, the work that they're doing is cold.
Okay.
Like, for instance, like, they just have number 10 isn't a particular person, but it's watching movies in a movie theater is number 10 of the Frigid 50.
Sure.
I don't want to do all 50 because it'll take forever. So we're going to...
People can check out the article. We'll link it on the website.
Yeah. We're going to cover the top 10. And number 10 is watching movies at a theater. Stay at home with all the latest entertainment hardware, media, and bootlegs, or go out to a theater and put up with drooling, movie-going masses that get more annoying with each passing year. Yep, here come the bulldozers. So I agree with them. I'd rather stay at home and watch in 5.1 on my TV. You know, TVs are getting more amazing, widescreen, all that. Why would you go to a movie theater and put up with the denizens of the
city? And again, they nailed it right there with bootlegs. I can sit here and if I want to see, let's say, just recently, the Charlize Theron movie, North Country, that came out like 3 or 4 weeks ago.
Right.
I've been wanting to see it, but I don't want to go to a theater. You know, it's just a pain in the ass to, you know, get ready, get the tickets, go to the theater, you know, sit in there for 2 hours and then go home. So I go on my computer, I look and see what the latest bootlegs are.
End of story.
Because it's Academy season, right, they're sending out all the new screeners. I downloaded a beautiful screener DVD of it and watched it in my theater last night.
Now isn't that illegal though? I mean,
yeah, it's illegal. But even they mentioned it. Bootlegs, they're out there. People know where to get them. They're on the street. They're online.
Right.
I think the thing with theaters is it's just so much of a pain, and the people are horrible in theaters.
Well, not only this, like not only are the people kind of obnoxious and stuff, but you go and you sit down, you pay all this money, and then the movie sucks. It's just like, dude, man, this blows. Like, I just watched Fantastic Four on DVD. I would have been pissed if I spent, like, $20 to $30 to see that in the theater.
Yeah, you know, like, $8 to go see it, and that's in the Midwest. It, you know, it costs much more on the West Coast and the East Coast.
Right.
But $8 to see it, $5 for popcorn, $3 for a medium pop. You know, by the time you're done, you could have, you know, why not pay? I would rather give the studios $12-15
right,
for a movie and be able to sit in my home and watch it. You know, watch it on my in my home theater and everything that comes with it. But you know, I think they're really missing out on that.
Exactly. And stay at home. You know?
Yeah, wait. Anymore, they keep accelerating the release cycle. I remember back in the 80s, when a movie came out in a theater, it was at least 4 to 6 months until it hit, you know, VHS or LaserDisc.
Yeah, they come out instantly.
LaserDisc, it came out a little earlier than VHS. It was always like a month in advance of the VHS. But, you know, now it's, what, Serenity came out in September. September 30th or something?
Right.
And now it comes out on DVD
December
next
20th.
Week.
Yeah, and the Browncoats are very excited about that.
Yes, they are.
But you have to understand, when a movie comes out that fast on DVD, doesn't that mean it didn't do that well?
Well, it does that, but also it means the studio is looking,
they know
that it's going to make money. It's going to make money on video.
Well, it's like Fantastic Four wasn't great, but man, it's got good numbers in the DVD sales. Cause it's like,
yeah, it does.
The best time to release a movie like that is during Christmas, because it's like, oh, I'm going to get my nephew Fantastic Four on DVD. You know, because Granny has no idea that the movie sucked ass. So
the best part in the entire movie was like a split second scene where Jessica Alba gets out of the shower and you can just kind of see her boobs out of focus. Like a split second. It was like, wow, that was a great movie. Right there. 2 seconds.
Were you like, that's worth the price of it?
Hey, I'm a historian of ass. You know, I wouldn't even buy it, let alone rent it on Netflix. You're lucky somebody lended it to you.
Yeah. Yeah, no, practically my brother-in-law like put it in my hands and he goes, take this. And I was like, I don't want to. He's like, you know, crushing my hand. Okay, I'll do it.
And that's another reason why people aren't going to the theaters. Movies suck anymore.
Well, speaking of that, next on the Frigid 10 is George Lucas.
Now, oh, Georgie.
Now that Episode 3 is come and gone, what's next, George? More Star Wars TV shows and video games? Boring. Lucas has more resources and power than any other filmmaker in the world to make whatever movies he wants. Yet all he continues to do is tinker around with Star Wars and Indiana Jones. What a waste. And the best way to kind of unfreeze, as they say, is convince your buddy Steven that Indiana Jones 4 is a really, really bad idea.
Yeah. Oh, God, is it a bad idea.
I don't know what they're going to do with that, but...
See, what's really awful about that, though, is George Lucas and Steven Spielberg are, like, the ultimate duo of wasted talent. You know, the last good movie that Steven Spielberg did... God, I'm trying to think. I can't even think of it.
I'll think about it.
Yeah, I mean, you seriously have to sit down and think about
it. Schindler's List.
Depressing. I mean, come on.
No, no, I'll say it right here. I love Saving Private Ryan. Let's say that.
Okay, last good movie he did, Saving Private Ryan, even though it had its problems. Like, you know, it just seems so emotionally manipulative at times that I kind of got offended by it.
Well, I'll tell you what...
I just don't like it when movies try and tell you how you should feel.
What I loved about the movie was the sound design. So whoever edited the sound, Gary Rydstrom, I believe, he's a genius.
Top-notch, man. And again, it's like they said about George Lucas, this man has so much money. And if he was truly an artist... he could do some amazing films.
Right. Okay, next on the list is Russell Crowe. That unpolished Kiwi is back, earning a star on the Hollywood Perp Walk of Fame for throwing a telephone at a hotel concierge.
Yeah, concierge.
Oh,
Frenchie.
Crowe claimed he did it out of anger when his hotel phone wasn't working. Thank goodness his toilet wasn't broken, or you could imagine what he would have thrown then. But Crowe seemed to spend more time in handcuffs than on screen, as witnessed by the ephemeral presence of Cinderella Man in theaters. The best way to revive his career is to pound the SpaghettiOs out of Stallone in Rocky 5, or 6, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And all will be forgiven. All right? I don't know. I don't really have much to say about that.
I got my Cinderella Man DVD. I actually bought it, only I'm not a real big Ron Howard fan, and I'm not certainly not a big... Russell Crowe fan, but I feel
Pardon
like maybe the movie
friend,
wasn't given a
you're
chance.
An asshole.
Yeah, why does Ron Howard keep coming up on our show? How does this keep happening?
He's quite an interesting filmmaker.
Yeah, now number 7 on the list is Bill Cosby. His big screen Fat Albert went belly up. Sexual assault charges. Assault charges. tarnished his family-friendly reputation. It is hectoring of... African-American community social concerns created more antagonism than action. How did this funny man become so unfunny so quickly? I would like to say to you... Oh, my God.
Jello.
Yeah. He's had nothing for a long time. And you know what? The Cosby Show sucked. Enough said.
Yeah, but was... I mean, seriously, was he ever funny? I remember as a kid, my father had, like, 10 of those Bill Cosby albums.
Yeah.
And I think the only one I ever liked was one called, like, To My Brother Russell, Whom I Love.
Yeah.
And... it was like a story about him smearing Jell-O all over the floor because he was afraid of watching
Jell-O
some...
pudding pops.
Yeah, afraid of watching some horror show as a kid. But it was never really that funny. It was funny for maybe a 5-year-old, and I think he's always been kind of an arrogant prick.
Yeah.
And now that he's older and senile, he no longer has that inner monologue. So now he just blurts out whatever the hell he wants to.
Yeah, I mean, just imagine being filthy rich for so long, and then you're going to talk about those poor people in the ghetto. You just come off sounding like an ass.
You're despicable.
Right after Bill Cosby is Sylvester Stallone. He's back, and certainly not by popular demand. We've got Jennifer Lopez, the big bottom one, proved yet again she has no gift for comedy with Monster in Law.
Oh, man.
Now, my favorite is number 4, and that's Tom Sizemore. Jesus,
oh, yeah.
Man.
He is a disaster.
Get a hold of yourself, Tom Sizemore. He's in and out of the courts, failed drug tests, using a prosthetic penis.
That was so funny.
And frankly, an embarrassing homemade porn film.
And you know what's funny about that porn film is I've seen clips of it online, and he makes more noise than the women. He sounds like a woman with all his moaning and everything.
Dude, that's something I never, ever want to hear.
Oh, and it's so funny. And the prosthetic penis story, you know,
no.
That's hilarious. Who has the balls to go to a court mandate drug test with a fake penis filled with someone else's urine?
I don't know, man. That's unbelievable.
I can't believe he would do that. He really needs some help. And, you know, it's sad because he's such an amazing actor.
All right, next on the list is Brett Ratner, one of our favorite directors. In the face of comic book fan fury, Rush Hour filmmaker Brett Ratner assures everyone that Brett Ratner is not Joel Schumacher. Brett Ratner claims that Brett Ratner is a comic book fan. Brett Ratner promises that Brett Ratner will make the best X-Men movie possible. Yeah, well, Brett Ratner, the none-too-popular director who takes to talking about himself in the third person, can say all he wants about Brett Ratner, but we can all be pretty certain that once the promising X-Men movie franchise is now as useless as Professor Xavier's legs.
Oh, that's tough.
Yeah. I mean, I'll say this about Brett Ratner. He's one of those directors kind of like Martin Campbell, where he's a director, but I don't get excited about his films. I just, you know.
He just directs typical Hollywood, throw money at it, hope the people go see it crap.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, his Rush Hour wasn't particularly entertaining, and he completely destroyed Red Dragon, and he's an arrogant prick. Everything I've read about him in, like, the Hollywood Insider magazines, no one likes him. He's an asshole.
He did do that movie, what was it, After the Sunset, where for a few seconds, what's her face? Damn, why can't I remember her name?
Salma Hayek?
Salma Hayek is in her underwear and a bikini and stuff, so I'm not excited about X3 at all, but we'll see. Maybe we'll...
Well, the trailer looks okay, but we'll see whenever it comes out.
Maybe we'll check out the trailer later, you know?
Phone's ringing.
What? Hello?
Who's... Hey guys, what's up?
Welcome to Mulberry.
Hey,
is this Steven?
That's me.
How's it going, buddy?
Oh, it's cold where I'm at.
Oh, is it? You just interrupted our frigid 50, man. What's going on? You know, it's perfect. You're somewhere that's cold, and you're at the top of the frigid 50 list. Tell us where you are.
I'm in the last frontier. That's right, the great state of Alaska.
Ah.
Not being used to my ability.
Ah, nice. Alaska, northern exposure, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
So how are you enjoying that?
Steven is
That's
my
pretty
name.
Cool.
Sweet.
That's pretty cool up here. It's,
you see any meat?
Minus the 5.5 hours of daylight that
what
we
the
get.
Hell was that?
Oh, wow, you must be really close to the Arctic Circle.
That's a great thing.
Can you see the Aurora Borealis?
It's been too cloudy.
Aw, oh, man, that sucks.
But it looks pretty clear tonight. Maybe we'll get a chance to see it.
Oh, that'd be cool. So are you sharing a room with somebody?
Yeah, my buddy Brian.
Sex in here.
What was that? It stinks like sex in there? What the hell? So, anyway, Steven, I just want to... We were talking about the two most... The frigidest people in Hollywood, and the top two is what we're at.
The frigidest?
The frigidest. The coldest.
The most frigid, maybe?
Yeah, that would be a good word to use.
Mm-hmm.
A good couple of words. Hey, I got nothing, all right? Okay.
Yes.
Number two is Katie Holmes.
Aw, poor Katie.
Yeah, she was so great on Dawson's Creek.
Her
lackluster performance as Rachel Dawes in Batman Begins led Warner Brothers to seek out a much stronger actress for Batman's love interest in the upcoming sequel. Okay, let me stop right there. Batman doesn't need a freaking love interest in every movie.
No, why? What's with the love interest crap?
I know, it's like, oh, he's got to fall in
this
love in every movie.
This isn't Tim Burton's Batman. Let's move past the love interest.
He doesn't need one. He's busy. He's Batman. You know?
Yeah. And if Batman needs some, you know, strange, he can go find some.
Yeah, exactly. She has seemed to gone strange ever since this relationship with Tom Cruise.
What? Has seemed to gone strange?
She seems to have gone weird on us. Gone wacky.
You know what? I'm afraid that maybe she was always wacky.
Yeah, it's possible. I mean, she's an actress. I mean, most people, they admire actresses or actors and everything, but most of the time, would you really want to talk to them?
She just seems like such a stiff.
Yeah.
You know, she seems like she's frigid.
All right.
Colder than a witch's tit.
Let's move on to number one on the list, and that's Tom Cruise. That's right. Can any more be said than that?
I love the first line of it. It says, it's the Bozo the Scientologist show.
Yeah.
I mean, he really has become a good actor who does decent films into a complete lunatic who does, you know, semi-okay movies.
Yeah, they put it succinctly here. It says, do you recall Tom's performance in War of the Worlds? No, chances are you don't. Do you recall his Love Mad Idiot on a Rampage performance on Oprah? Of course you do. And that pretty much sums up what everyone's thinking of Tom Cruise these days. And you know what? I'm interested in seeing Mission Impossible 3 because J.J. Abrams is directing it. Let's see if he can pull that out of the cesspool. You know?
Yeah, but that's got to be tough. I mean, you got to deal with Tom Cruise and all his Scientology horse shit. Sorry, Steven. I know you like that sort of stuff.
Yeah, no offense, Steven. But the reason that I do want to see it is because Simon is in it from...
Listen, I'm helping put up the tent outside that Scientology center there.
Yeah.
Mission Impossible 3.
Well, that's good of you. Are they filming in Alaska this week? Is that what you're doing there?
No, I'll be back in L.A. for that one.
Oh, okay. So anyway, that's Tom Cruise. That's the top 10 on the Frigid 50.
And not being used to my ability.
Now, Steven, somebody that we all admire died yesterday, and I just want to take a moment to talk about that. Richard Pryor passed away. And
yes, comic genius.
Today, I watched Superman 3 in honor of him. And I'm going to watch Silver Streak next.
Poor son of a bitch. Superman 3.
Dude, he got paid a lot of money for that, so you can't feel sorry for him. Now,
about that JoJo Dancer movie?
I can't sit through JoJo Dancer. What's that movie where he was like a race car driver? Grease Lightning.
Grease Lightning, yeah.
Do you remember that awful movie from the mid-80s he did? Was it called Moving or something?
Moved
from like L.A. to Idaho or something?
Vaguely. I think I know what you're talking about. But I remember one of his best movies, and that's The Toy with Jackie Gleason.
Yeah. Jackie Gleason, Richard Pryor, and the kid that grew up to be a porn star.
I probably saw that movie about 5,000 times on cable growing up.
Yeah, when I was a kid growing up and I saw that movie, I envied that kid so much.
And you know what's funny is I pretty much hated the movie but still watched it repeatedly anyway.
Sure, I mean it was ridiculously stupid, but it was just something about the movie that once you started watching it, you couldn't stop.
Right, it was just, I don't know. Wasn't that a Richard Donner movie?
You gotta love it for the one line where the kid says, "I want that black man, Daddy."
Yeah.
Retarded.
Hey, it's
Didn't
Vanessa.
Richard Donner direct that?
Yeah, Dickie Donner directed that.
Dick Donner.
So,
rest
in peace, Richard Pryor. You were a genius stand-up comic. You always made me laugh. And
yeah, and plus he was trapped in that body the last, 20 years of his life. That had to be tough.
Yeah. It's really sad.
Yeah.
So, we'll move on. Dude, Foggy, that is bad. Don't do that. What the hell? Oh.
Foggy's a heartless prick.
All right, Foggy.
Yeah, and Snoopy's a heartless prick, too.
Snoopy, you bastard! All right, Snoopy. Bastard. All right, guys, let's get out of this segment and do some entertainment. All right, I want to start out our entertainment segment with a teaser that I just watched yesterday, and that is the new Christoph Gans movie, written by Roger Pulp Fiction Avery. It is Silent Hill. We talked about that a couple of episodes ago, Bill. Do you remember that? It's based on a video game.
Yeah.
The scary video game. It's just a short teaser, but I want to check it out. It kind of has a creepy atmosphere about it. Let's check it out.
Honey, sometimes when you go to sleep, you go on a little walk. And sometimes you talk about a place called Silent Hill.
I don't remember.
So it's just kind of a little short thing, but it looks pretty good.
Yeah, I wasn't blown away by the teaser.
Yeah.
It's like I said, it just seemed, I know they're trying to go for the whole atmosphere thing, but the quick cuts, the washed out exposure look, I'm just not sure yet.
Well, see,
I gotta see something.
Right. I want to see a scene in the movie, but what I was impressed by about the trailer is that it looks like the game. They pulled that off now to pull off the creepy vibe of the game and make it into a narrative, into an entertaining movie.
Well, Christoph Gans tends to be a talented Frenchie.
Now,
you know, Crying Freeman was good, and Brotherhood of the Wolf, of course, was a gorgeous movie.
I never saw Crying Freeman, and I wanted to. Is that pretty good? Pretty good stuff?
Yeah, I liked it a lot.
All right.
It has Mark Dacascos, or those,
Mark Dacascos!
You know, the new guy on Iron Chef.
Right. Now, I've got another teaser, and this is based on the comic book, The X-Men, X3, directed by Brett Rush Hour Ratner, as he likes
Brett
to refer
Ratner
to.
Ratner is an excellent director.
He loves to refer to himself in the third person. Let's check it out.
Whoa.
You know when a trailer starts like that, it's good. Got the subwoofer.
Since the dawn of existence, there have always been moments when the course of
does every X-Men movie have to start with since the dawn of time? Engage!
Captain's log.
Yeah. Upon us now.
They wish to cure us, but I say we are the cure.
A conflict between the better and worse angels of our very nature, whose outcome will change our world so greatly, there will be no going back.
Uh-oh.
I do not know if victory is possible. I only know that great sacrifice will be required. And because the fate of many will depend on a few,
I would ask no more of you than that.
We must make a last stand.
Ooh. Yeah, the fit's gonna hit the sham.
That's right. I've heard the rumors that it's going to be called X3, The Last Stand. Ooh.
I hear the video going to be called X3 Reunion.
I smell the stench of Brett Ratner's shit all over this trailer.
Yeah.
No, you did get a brief look at our favorite radio host, and that's Frasier.
Yeah, that he just seems so out of place there.
What
it's like, oh, hey, look, it's a blue Frasier.
Yeah, hey, toss salad and scrambled eggs.
Where's Niles?
Yeah, Niles shows up.
Niles is busy doing good comic book
movies, like
Hellboy.
I look closely at the trailer to see some of the characters, and I do see the Juggernaut in there, and his outfit looks really silly. So let's see if they pull that off.
And Angel, they decided to go Angel instead of Archangel.
Yeah, and Angel... which is cool. I love the character of Angel. He was kind of boring, but he's visually cool to look at when it's drawing.
Yeah.
So let's see what they do with the movie. And it's played by Claire's boyfriend in one of the earlier seasons of 6 Feet Under. I can't remember the actor's name.
Yeah, Ben Foster.
Yeah, and he's a good actor. I hope
he's an excellent actor.
And it's supposed to build up to a big battle, and I hear rumors that people are going to die and stuff. Because
they want
to have a younger cast for the later movies, which I think is a big mistake, because they're the least interesting out of the cast of characters. Wolverine is everyone's favorite. There'll probably be a Wolverine movie after this.
Isn't Hugh Jackman already signed to do one?
Yeah, and the reason that Bryan Singer didn't direct this is because he wanted to direct his lifelong dream, and that's Superman.
Mm.
So
I'm already starting to question that one.
Yeah.
I don't care how much of a fanboy you are of Superman. There's just something about it in the teasers and everything.
Well,
I'm just not impressed.
I saw a picture of Superman. He kind of like this hip hugging belt, and he looked kind of homoerotic. You know, it's just kind of.
Well, you're talking homoerotic. You're talking Bryan Singer. Hello.
Yeah.
Look
at Bryan. Gay.
Is he gay?
Yeah.
Wow.
You didn't know that?
Ain't it awful?
No, it's not awful. That's his choice, Foggy. God.
Bryan Singer is a big homo. Hello, Frisco.
So excited.
Well, more power to him. That's all I gotta say.
More power and butt sex.
Good lord, man.
Good lord.
All right, that's enough of movies. Those will come out some other time. And Chronicles of Narnia came out. We'll talk about that someday when we see it on HBO, but let's get into...
Don't dismiss it that quick.
You know, it's gotten some good reviews. It's getting good reviews on Rotten Tomatoes, and I would like to see it, but I still haven't seen frickin' Harry Potter yet, so...
You know what? I just think it's a bad time to release Chronicles of Narnia, only because I'm sure it's going to make a shitload of money this weekend.
Right.
It'll probably end up somewhere around $70 million, but... I just don't think it's time for it after, you know, the Lord of the Rings stuff so soon.
Right. I mean, aren't the effects done by Weta?
Yeah, Richard Taylor and Weta, whatever.
Yeah, Weta. Somebody call in and tell us the way you,
yes,
how you pronounce that name.
New Zealand-based, right?
Right.
You Kiwis, call us and tell us how to
Not
say Weta.
My ability.
All right, guys, let's get into what's on your TiVo.
Whoa,
Foggy's going a little nuts, the TiVo there.
Bucka.
Now, before we get into our usual shows, I wanted to talk about a show that I happened to catch while laying on the couch and the remote was too far away for me to get up to change it.
Oh, man, I've been there.
And this is Project Runway on Bravo.
Oh!
It's one of those shows that's not for me. I'm not the demographic. I'm not into fashion, and I'm not a homosexual.
The guy was gay.
Jason, nobody's that lazy. I think you enjoyed it, because I would have been up changing the channel.
Now, I did get into it. Now, what the basis of the show is these designers all compete every week, and they design a new outfit, and then these pompous asses judge it, and they judge whether you're good or bad. Now, the thing that caught my attention that I knew I just had to talk about is there's this weird, like, very kind of hyper-sensitive... bald homo dude, and he's just a freak, man. And you'll know right here from this clip, they kind of talk to him about how his dress wasn't really what they expected more out of him, and I wanted you to just hear the way he talks. The dude's got problems. Here it is.
I wore because I was really tired and it reflected my emotion. I was bedraggled emotionally, and so were my clothes.
I just wish that all this emotion and all this energy that you have, mm-hmm. you focus on your creation. I don't need to hear all this. I just want to see it.
I'm so sorry. And I'm not supposed to be crying. Jesus.
Oh my God.
God.
Did he say bedraggled?
Yeah, what the hell does
the guy
that
was
mean?
Gay.
I don't know, must be one of those gay words.
Bedraggled. Steven, do you know what bedraggled means?
Not a clue.
I was bedraggled.
Okay. What the hell does that mean?
Bedraggled. You know what it means?
I want to bite your
neck. Just looked it up. There's two definitions.
All right.
Wet. Limp, soiled by, or as if by having been dragged through mud.
Oh, so he felt like he'd been dragged through mud.
I was bedraggled.
The way he says it, bedraggled.
I think he's been bedraggled quite a few times.
It's kind of scary, but anyway, at that point I did get up and get the remote and watch some Gomer Pyle, which isn't a gay show at all.
All right.
Now, a show I do want to get into now is The Apprentice. Did you guys check out The Apprentice this week?
I caught bits and pieces of it. You know, you're talking Apprentice, you're talking Vanessa, who's too tired to get up.
Yeah. Now, here is a clip of The Apprentice. This pretty much sums up the whole show with the Donalds loud talking.
Great.
At Boulevard, Rebecca's team met with executives from Yahoo.
Why does he talk so loud?
Was the big question.
Do they not put the microphone underneath his mouth?
Yahoo for answers.
I think he wears earplugs.
At the end of the night, they'll have the opportunity to make a donation if they'd like to. I think the biggest challenge is that we don't want to press people.
I was bedraggled.
To contribute.
Can we just put a donation envelope in the gift bags? I mean, I really okay. don't think we should be inviting
dealing with Yahoo.
To the party and then saying, here's an envelope.
Sure. Yahoo is the big sponsor for this event. And
I've got an email with Yahoo.
What Yahoo says they want is what Yahoo gets.
The sponsor was happy, but things
Jesus,
quickly
Donald.
Took a turn
Quiet.
For the worse.
This is James.
Hello, James. It's Joe. How you doing?
Hey, not bad, Joe.
Joe
so, Bill, are, is anyone... Oh, yeah, Joe Piscopo's on this. Joe Piscopo shows
hey,
up
Joe,
on the episode.
Who might do this?
Oh, that's too funny.
But this is the best part. They ask Joe Piscopo
no
to MC their
like.
Event, and then
right
he calls
now,
in and says he can't because of union rules.
Task and mission failure.
So it was his first gig in years, and then he couldn't do it.
Tony Island. Randall's
unbelievable.
Met with the CEO
I'm talking real loud. I'm the Donald.
And immediately connected with the cause.
1 in 166 children are now diagnosed with autism.
1 in 166?
After hearing Allison speak, if there is an ounce or a percentage point more than I can find in my body and my DNA, I'm going to get it.
Randall then met with Outback Steakhouse.
Stop
CEO
yelling,
ben
Donald.
Novello,
jeez.
And things were looking bright.
Do you think people are just, they don't want to tell Donald
no
to stop yelling because he's so powerful?
Louder, Donald. Louder.
It's like a guy in the booth is like, go tell Donald to stop yelling. He's like, no way, dude. It's the Donald.
But later, must be all those years of living in New York.
Concerns that things weren't getting done.
Maybe he's hard
enough.
Of hearing.
Got to get it done now.
Or he's just used to yelling in the
absolutely.
Right?
I understand that. You won't.
Maybe
be
the hair is growing out of his ears, right. And he uses that as his toupee.
Randall and his team scrambled to the field and worked into the night.
Instead of busting my balls about how I need to feel a sense of
busting
urgency.
Your balls. What the hell?
We just stay focused on what we got to get done and make sure that as we move into tomorrow, that we've kind of thought through as many different scenarios as possible, so that when unexpected things come, because they will come, that we're ready for it.
New York City weather for tomorrow, cold and rainy with a chance of thundershowers, so pack your umbrella.
Yeah, let me ask you that, Bill. Do they throw wrenches into the machinery on purpose just to give them, you know, problems?
They absolutely do. It's got to stay interesting.
Like, did they know that Joe Piscopo wouldn't be able to do it and have him call in at the last minute just to screw him up to see what they would do to handle it?
Absolutely. They probably even ADR'd that phone call.
Yeah, and it's like, I can't do it, regulations, God, I'm starving, please give me a job, I'm Joe Piscopo.
But I'm trying to beat New Jersey governor.
Yeah, and it's the same thing with the other group, Randall. He's doing a charity softball game, and the weather is going to be bad, so we'll have to wait till next week to see what happens. It's really goofy. But anyway, on to a show that was actually good and entertaining, and that was My Name is Earl, which the Christmas episode. Did you get to see that, Steven?
No, I was working. You'll have to save that for me so I can see it.
Damn, I think I already deleted it.
No.
No.
No. No.
Basically, Earl...
I'm trying
to
get out of here. That we turned a two-week job into a one-week job up here, so we were working 12-hour days.
That's yeah, if I was in Alaska, I would want to turn a two-week job into a one-week job, too.
Yeah, I mean, have you been used to your abilities?
Not being used to my ability.
That's a great thing.
So anyway, this week's Earl was basically Earl wanted to make up for all the bad Christmases that he'd given Joy and her kids through the years. I've got a clip, actually. Let's check it out.
Hey, did you finish putting the boys' box together?
Uh-huh.
There better be some of that beer left for Christmas morning.
We should go on a beer run. Are we okay to drive?
I know a good way to find out. If I can steer that remote control car around the living room without crashing, I'm okay.
Randy, that's a cat.
We shouldn't drive.
That's when I realized we might be too drunk to drive, but we weren't too drunk to pedal. Although I learned a valuable lesson that night.
Yeah, they take the boys' bikes.
If you're gonna try to fly a bicycle, you better make sure E.T. is sitting in your basket instead of a 12-pack of beer. Well, I guess you two weren't good enough this year, huh?
Yeah, so They give the two boys these horrible mangled bikes the next day. And
oh, that's too funny.
And he's like, I guess you weren't too good this year. Santa gave you some mangled bikes.
Yeah, it was a really good episode. It was nice to see Brett Butler on TV again, even though she, I think she tripled in size.
She's plays Joy's mom, and she's faking being in a wheelchair.
Because she's got like three different problems.
So her husband keeps paying for medical problems she doesn't have so she can go down to the track.
And so she can go to the Indian casino.
And the whole side story is Randy is at one of those hands on a car contests where you don't take your hands off so you win a car.
And Harlan Williams is the MC.
Yeah, it's good to see him since Rocket Man.
Rocket Man.
I wonder what he's been doing since Rocket Man. But it's great because Catalina is helping him with the contest, and Catalina ends up winning. And when the guy asks for a social security number, he's like, and she looks like, gives him a funny look. He's like, ma'am, are you a citizen? And she just takes off running. That was great. And so Randy gets the car by default, and then Joy's mom steals the car and bets on it at a Indian casino.
It was a really funny episode. I every week, you know, there may not be a lot of belly laughs, but it's just one of those shows. It reminds me a lot, I mean, not in content, but in feeling while watching of Ed. It's just one of those shows that you like to sit down and watch and just enjoy.
Right. And another thing is Joy's parents don't know that she's not with Earl anymore. They don't know about Crabman at all, and she's afraid to tell her parents because she thinks her dad is a racist.
Yeah.
And the best part is when Crabman comes walking out of the door, and she's like, oh my gosh, a Negro!
Oh my gosh, there's a Negro in our house. Get him!
And it turns out her dad's not racist at all. He loves Negroes. In fact, he loves sleeping with black women.
Yeah.
And at first, you think Crabman might be his illegitimate son, but it turns
out... he even asks him, are you Thelma's boy? I was like, oh no.
That was great.
No.
But, Steven, too bad you missed out. Too bad I deleted it. You'll never see it.
Gotta love the racial humor.
Yeah. That's what this show does well. It does this tacky kind of white trash humor that it doesn't offend. It's just hilarious.
Yeah.
I love it. A TV show that my wife's always telling me I gotta talk about is The Office, which is, you know, it's based on the British show. Everyone knows that. But it's Steve Carell.
Ricky Gervais.
Right. And this was the Christmas episode where they do the gift exchange at work, and I thought it was pretty funny. It pretty much sums up the way it is at work when you do that. Here's a quick clip of that.
Shower radio, neat.
Oh, great. That was for me.
Thanks, Kelly. You know I was going to get one of these.
Okay, that's enough. Let's keep it moving on. Jim?
Oh, cool.
That's for me?
Great. Where'd you get it?
I don't know. It was so long ago.
He obviously forgot to get me something. And then he went into his closet and dug out this little number. And then threw it in a bag.
Yep, that's exactly what happened.
The guy just gave him a shirt from his closet and put it in a grocery bag for his gift.
That's hilarious.
The best thing is Steve Carell wants to impress everyone, so he gets one of the members of the office a video iPod. And it was supposed to be a $20 gift. He's like, check it out, guys, video iPod. So then they decide that they're going to do the, I forget what you call it, the white elephant gift, where everyone keeps, like, I want that one. They keep exchanging it.
Uh-huh.
Until finally everyone's fighting over the iPod and all the other gifts are left aside. It was a pretty funny show.
I'm going to have to put that back on my TiVo. I was such a fan of the you know, British The Office, the original, that I watched a couple of the episodes of this one, and I really couldn't get into it, but it seems like they're finally getting their legs on it.
Right. Right, that's what's good, is that they've gotten out from the shadow of the British series, and they kind of formed their own thing there. Because not many people know, is the original Office, what was that, like one season, and it was over, right?
Two seasons, but again... A series in British or in Britain,
it's like
only
seven
lasts
episodes.
Like 7 episodes. So
right. They don't have
the full
22. There's
like 14 episodes, and then there was a Christmas special.
Right. I do believe that The Office, the first season, was 6 episodes, and then they got picked up for season 2, which will probably be hopefully at least 18 to 22 episodes, because that's the way we do it here in America.
Yeah, not that ass backwards 7.
Yeah. Now, did you guys get to check out the special Christmas Smallville?
Oh, man, did I.
The Lexmas.
Wow.
So, I'll just start it off with a clip, and this is what happens after... Well, it begins with Lex going to see a guy about... Is he going to kill Clark's dad, or...
No, he was looking... The guy was going to...
Dig up dirt?
Dig up dirt or create a lie that would take Jonathan Kent out of the Senate race.
Right, and when he's going back to his car, these people, these TV show muggers, because it's a chick in like a midriff and she's all hot and she has a gun, which isn't in real life at all, shoots him for no reason, and he wakes up to this. Wakes up in bed.
Breakfast!
Ah!
Who are you?
Honey, you did promise him.
Run!
Oh, I don't remember.
Jesus,
what
that kid's giving me a headache.
Come on, Dad!
Pancakes. You promised Alice pancakes. And then you're gonna go shopping for a tray.
Listen,
no, don't. Don't complain.
Dad!
Jeez, shut up, you brat!
Wants to wait until Christmas Eve to get it.
Honey, you...
Alex, come on, honey. Let's get you dressed.
What the...
He's, what happened, Day? He's in another life. What movie is this like, Bill?
A Family Man or The Family Man?
Who directed The Family Man?
What happened?
I was bedraggled.
Lex was bedraggled there. No, who directed The Family Man?
Wasn't that Brett Ratner?
Brett Ratner! It's a Brett Ratner show, everybody! Yes, so anyway, in this episode, it has him in a coma or whatever, and he has this life that Lex could have, possibly, which his mother tells him, you know, it's like Ebenezer Scrooge. This is where you could be married to Lana and have a little brat that's really loud and hurts our ears, you know.
You know, I was never particularly impressed with the acting of the girl that plays Lana Lang, but this episode in particular was so bad on her part. It was so forced, and it was just like she was reading right off the script.
Yeah, I think it's because she hasn't been on the show lately, and it's like she's just been vacationing or something, and she was like, oh, I'm going to be on this episode? Or But there's a little side story here, and that was Chloe has to get these gifts out to all these needy kids.
Oh, man.
And Clark has to play Santa Claus. And here's the part where he goes to meet Santa Claus on the roof.
Where it really gets bad.
You sure you're all right?
I am now.
Oh, yeah, he falls off the roof and Clark does bullet time to save him.
He runs down the side of the building.
Holy cow!
Merry Christmas.
And it turns out that this isn't just some drunk. This is the real Santa, Bill.
Yeah.
Steven, that was the real Santa. Oh.
Yes, and of course.
I didn't know that Santa Claus was a drunken lout that hung around on rooftops with a bottle of Johnny Walker.
Well, the funniest part about that is at the beginning of the clip, he says it was too long. I just couldn't play that. But he basically, Santa feels depressed because no one cares about Christmas anymore. And he's like, hey, but I'm like delivering gifts to little kids. And so's Chloe. And he's like, oh, okay. Well, hey, I've got my Christmas spirit again. And it like took a second for him to, you know.
Santa's fickle.
Yeah.
You know. But when he doesn't get what he needs from Mrs. Claus, he gets a little cranky.
Right. And the funny thing about this is that Lex, you know, he learns that if he would stop being a greedy bastard, he could have this wonderful life, except that Lana is pregnant and she dies in childbirth. So now he's determined that the idea, you know, he goes to his dad in this fantasy world to get money to take her to a specialist. And I keep thinking, isn't Clark's dad a senator? Couldn't he have made some more calls, you know, in his dream world? But he just gave up and was like, okay, dad's right. So he decides that he has to become as powerful as he can, and then everything will kind of happen for him.
Yeah, and then the other asinine touch was at the Clark's Christmas party, Lex gets the... Kansas Humanitarian of the Year Award.
Yeah.
Like, wait a second. How did he get a Humanitarian of the Year Award if he's like a house frau husband?
Yeah, he didn't have a job or anything. He just sat at home. I wondered
that
myself.
What exactly did he do to get Humanitarian of the
There's
Year?
There's kind of a few plot holes there. And
a few holes. A few tunnels.
Yeah, who's writing the show? That's what I want to know.
This episode was really awful. It's like they went, you know what? Why don't we just do a Christmas episode?
You know what?
Okay.
I have to admit, though, when I saw his life and like he was going to eat at the Kents, I was like, I'd like that life, too. I want to be Humanitarian of Kansas. Now, did we just get a Steven yawn there?
Yes, we did.
So? Steven?
Was that a yawn?
I believe so.
Did someone fall asleep?
Ask Brian if you yawned.
I'm not asleep.
Now, here's a segment that will put you to sleep, Steven. Let's talk about this week's Alias.
Okay.
Now, Alias brought back a...
It wasn't that bad.
No, it was a good episode. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying that Steven falls asleep during Alias segments. It's a tradition.
Thanks for clearing that up for me.
I never
That's
watched.
Wheels off.
Well, you don't know what you're missing.
Now, what happens on Alias is Rachel Gibson has to go on a mission by herself. She has to intercept some data about this weapon. What was it called? Some kind of flash weapon that makes people blow up?
No, it was an electronic pulse bomb.
Yeah, it makes people fry.
It incinerates people.
But everybody else, everything else, all the objects are just fine. You'd never know except for the burnt skeletons.
Yeah.
So she goes
it
there.
It looked like Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru.
Yeah, it's the Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru bomb. So it turns out that Sark, we all know who Sark is, right, Steven?
Julian Sark.
We know exactly who he is.
And basically it turns out he's on this mission too, and he's there to do the same exact thing Rachel Gibson is.
Greetings, program!
But except Rachel Gibson has never seen him before, so naturally they have some sex.
Yeah, because that's what happens.
Yeah. What? I don't know what that means. It wasn't a donkey show, Foggy. But anyway, when she goes back, you know, she completes the mission, she gets the information or whatever, and here's her telling Sydney about what happened, as women do. To some techno music, some trance.
You're in a good mood.
Is this house music, Bill?
Anything you're not telling me?
Yeah.
Nothing. The trip was really relaxing.
It's sex afterglow music.
Yeah. You know, breaking into some guy's laptop doesn't qualify as relaxing. Okay, well, I took your advice and I had some fun. Really?
Yes, I got my brains banged out.
I'm not telling you. You'll think less of me. No, I won't, I promise. Spit it out, I met a guy at the hotel and
ooh.
We hooked up. So not me. I mean, I don't do that. Okay, who was he? I need details. Bob.
Oh, the brain.
This guy, which is not at all my type, and we were just talking at the bar, and well, one thing led to
talking at the bar.
Another, obviously.
Basically, you got her drunk, and she's easy, is what the episode told me.
Yeah, I'd like to intercept her data.
Yeah,
and not just.
Hack into that hard drive.
He was funny. He made me laugh. And he was smart and okay. Yeah, he was
the IO
really
port.
Hot. I was just talking to him. I felt like I was back in my own skin. You know, does that sound crazy to you?
She like
yeah, her.
She has skin as a whore. She has an exoskeleton. I felt like the whore I used to be.
You gonna see him again? He thinks I'm Lydia, a British engineer.
Oh, rats, yeah.
So no, I guess.
Guess what happens in Brazil stays in Brazil.
And then they get to meet him. It's Sark. Sark looks like he's lost some weight.
Lydia.
Too.
How nice.
Yeah.
You remembered my name. Do you remember me?
Finish the game!
No. I'm not supposed to be crying. Jesus.
Okay.
Bedraggled.
he was so bedraggled that
I have one criticism.
But was bedraggled.
Bedraggled. When at what point did the term hook up enter the lexicon of the English language?
I don't know.
It's so high school. It's so irritating. What? Why can't you just say, I met this guy, and we had incredible sex?
Yeah.
Why do you have to say...
The sex was fantastic.
We hooked up.
Well, another thing is, Sydney, like, she gets sent on this mission. A couple of episodes, like, they're afraid to have her in the field because she's a rookie. But now it's like, hey, while you're out there, try to get laid, for Christ's sakes.
And you know what else? I was sitting there wondering. Yeah. I love that clip from Mission Hill. But the other thing that was kind of I was concerned about for was how did she keep the accent going while having sex?
Yeah.
And you know, that's a lot of concentration. She couldn't have enjoyed it that much.
That was another funny thing is that he's British and he's speaking American and she's American speaking British the whole time. Wouldn't a Brit know?
Well, he's not British.
Well, I mean, his character.
Yeah.
Where is he from, the actor?
I think he's, like, from Nebraska or something.
Yeah, he's not a great actor, but it's Sark. We love Sark, or whatever.
Yeah, Sark was great in the first season and not bad in the second season.
And I'll have to admit, this episode kind of was confusing to me. I kind of lost interest in it. Basically, her dad, Jack, and this British lady get kidnapped. And
yeah, there was quite Tunisia. A few plot tunnels. You know, the Tunisia thing was a little odd, and then there was the whole ambush aspect, and you weren't sure if the British woman was involved or not. There was just a lot of unanswered questions, and then the episode ends with Spy Daddy playing the piano, and you're like,
yeah,
okay.
What did that mean?
Well, I guess he wants to get back into playing the piano.
Had a bunch of books. I think he was in like a post-apocalyptic library playing the piano. He had all these books on his piano.
Bastard let the zombies into mine.
Yeah. Bastard. It's new, some kind of government experiment. Well, anyway, Ned, the scenes to next week, it looks like Vaughn will be back. But I have a feeling it's just a tease.
I wasn't that far off. David Anders, otherwise known as Julian Sark, it's from Grants Pass, Oregon.
Oh, wow. Good guess. Yeah. Good guess, sir.
Sir?
Dirty old horny McWhack-whack.
What?
Now, one more show that we watched this week is Veronica Mars. It was the Christmas Veronica Mars also. And this was a pretty good episode. Veronica's on jury duty, and they never showed the jury picking or whatever. She's also automatically on a jury. They never show a courtroom.
Yeah,
they're just debating the court case, and that was interesting part. But another side thing that's going on is Aaron Eccles' sex tapes have been stolen out of lockup at the police station, and they need this evidence. And Logan, it turns out, gets a hold of him because he pays like $50,000 for him. You know, he's rich or whatever. And they show him like watching the tapes, crying. Oh,
that was just.
Because
mildly bizarre.
Yeah, he's watching his dad have sex with his dead girlfriend, which was kind of bizarre.
Who his dad killed, nonetheless.
Yeah, and basically what I don't understand is they're like, we really need these tapes because it's a lot of evidence again. But Aaron Eccles last season tried to kill Veronica, and they have witnesses for that, so...
Yeah, what was so important about the tape? And then...
He tried to set her on fire, for God's sakes.
He locked her in a refrigerator
and set her on fire. Yeah, he's going to get off scot-free, but of course he is a rich guy, so you never know.
How is he still rich?
I don't know, but here's another thing is that... Veronica makes some Christmas dinner with her dad, and here's the scene where her dad comes home, and I thought it kind of was on shaky ground here. The scene, just where it leads to, he gets her a Christmas present, I thought was kind of weird. So let's listen to that.
And what have you done?
Got some nice Christmas music going.
I'm sorry, I was looking for my apartment, but I seem to have stumbled upon some sort of magical winter wonderland instead. Why, perhaps this elf can help me.
I just thought we needed at least an hour of holiday. Grab a seat.
You know, elf, we might not be the richest family in town, but we can afford normal-sized birds once a year or so.
Game hens. They were just so cute.
Aw, little game hens.
That's smart thinking. Come on, what do they taste like?
I don't know. Dense little turkeys.
They're basically tiny chickens, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Thanks for doing all this, honey.
drank the three energy drinks.
Good eat.
Merry Christmas, Pops.
You're drinking wine now?
No. God bless us, everyone.
She's a very tiny bird in a size, but in a taste, so big.
I gotta love Keith Mars.
Backup can handle the dishes right now. How's about an early peek at one of your Christmas presents?
See, this is the part that I just thought was weird.
What about our strict Christmas morning only rule?
Wow. This Christmas, we make our own rules. Follow me!
I'm so impressed you fit a pony into my room.
Oh, God, that's sick. She had sex with her dad. Oh, that's a
that
sick.
Might actually make the show even more interesting.
Now, that's a sick Christmas present. That's all I got to say about that.
Dude. You like that?
Now, guys, I know we didn't have a Lost episode this week. Thank God, because, you know, our show is long enough without Lost. But I do have a Lost theory. One day, laying on the couch when the remote was too far away from me to get up, I was watching...
Was this the same day that you were watching the Project Runway?
It could have been. I'm sorry about that. Sometimes that happens.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
Now, what happened was I was watching Regis. I was watching Regis! Everyone loves Regis! And they had Michael... What's his name? Perrineau? The guy who plays... Michael on Lost. What is it?
Yes.
Harold Perrineau? I don't know what his name is. But
Harold.
Yeah. He plays Michael on Lost. And then Regis launched into his little Lost theory, and I just thought you guys ought to check this out.
Jumping and kicking. Listen, and dying. And
let me ask you this. I figured it out a long time ago.
Regis
I
has
saw
had this show figured out from day
people
one.
People want to know, what is it? What's devouring? What's why are these people dying on Lost? Right. And I saw the shadow, and it looked like a dinosaur. Now, come on, Harold. One New York guy to another. Is it a dinosaur or not? Come on, Harold, you know.
How'd you figure it out?
I saw the shadow.
He's so genius that you figured it out. Regis, thank you.
It's a dinosaur.
No talent ass clown.
Yeah, Foggy got it right.
What the hell is going on there?
I know. It's like Regis is like, it's a dinosaur. I figured it all out. Just like, dude, what the hell? Give that guy some... sedatives or something.
Yeah, he's always been annoying.
And but they've always, on that show, they got all these old biddies in the audience. Like, oh, Regis is so funny. Ow. You know, it's like my grandma. They could win this contest. Have you ever watched the show where they do, like, someone
they
in
call
the
person.
You won some bed sheets. Well, holy shit.
Now choose a number.
Oh, yeah.
And then the person who wins in the audience is, oh,
I won bed sheets too. Man, it's horrible. But that's Regis's Lost theory, and he can go to hell. Sorry. I'm just belched. Whoa, somebody just killed Regis. Hey, guys, let's do some news. All right, guys, I have sad news that you've known from the beginning of the show, but that's Vanessa's not here for the news, and it's very sad. But we're going to try to do the news with Bill and see how we do it. Yeah, we're going to see how Bill does it. I mean, Bill has certain limitations, but he knows his limitations.
Okay. He's got to know his limitations.
When did I get designated the news reader here?
All right, let's see what you got, Bill.
You block it.
All right, since we don't have Vanessa with us because she's sick, may she get better soon, let's dedicate this new segment to Vanessa.
Let's make the other sick person read the news.
Oh, hello, Vanessa.
Yeah, Bill is suffering from avian water flu, and we hope he gets better also, but he's also going to read the news for us. So, Bill, what news stories do you have for us this week?
Well, see, my news differs in Vanessa's in that I care about world events, especially when it involves one of my favorite things, beef.
Ah, beef.
Yes, beef. In Japan, their food safety commission... said on Thursday that it had approved the easing of a 2-year government ban on U.S. and Canadian beef imposed due to the mad cow disease.
Whoa there, Pickle.
Now they're paving the way for partial imports to resume this month. So I guess, you know, the mad cow thing scared those Japs. I'm sorry.
Japanese. Japanese
people. So yeah, they're letting some of our beef re-enter their country, which is a good thing for American beef people.
Yeah, it is. The beef people.
Yeah, you know, there was a lot of, you know, beef not going anywhere.
Where is the beef?
Steven, are you sure you're not breathing in your mic?
It's not me, I swear.
All right, just check it.
It could be me.
I'm keeping you on your toes.
I can't exactly
breathe
through
my
nose
very
well.
Since we started this turd hunt.
All right, Bill, what other stories you got for this week in news on Nowhere in Mulberry?
Dateline, Chicago.
Uh-oh.
Cartons of whole milk would be considered junk food, but baked Cheetos would not, under new rules proposed Friday by the Illinois education officials. So, I don't really understand this. They'll let kids eat baked Cheetos, but not drink whole milk.
Illinois Nazis. I hate Illinois Nazis.
I think they're the milk Nazis, in fact.
Milk Nazis? Damn it!
You know, I remember as a kid, we had whole milk, chocolate milk, and every once in a while, if we were lucky, we had orange drink.
Yeah, orange drink. Yeah,
not orange juice.
Was it a clear cup with this, like, foil cover, and it was just
yeah,
orange stuff?
Yeah, exactly.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over!
You know what I miss most about school food is the rolls that were just filled with butter. Oh,
yeah.
Man, those are great. School
and
rolls.
And the Friday pizza covered in grease.
How bad would it be if I just showed up to a generic school and said, hey, man, I'm just here to buy some rolls for 10 cents a piece. Is that all right? But they let
you
me
know
do
what?
It.
You could probably go into a school and go to lunch there and act like you're a parent or something, and they wouldn't even know it.
It's like, I'm little Timmy's dad, and I'm just going to get some rolls.
Your move, creep.
I just think the reason why I bring up this story is I think the whole thing about regulating school lunches and fat contents and whether kids can buy soda or, you know, junk food and all that. It's just insane. Whatever happened to making food and letting kids eat it? Everyone's so anal about what is going in kids' mouths nowadays.
Right. And just feeding crap. Who cares?
Yeah, I mean,
they're not learning anything anyway.
That's great.
It didn't hurt me. I was I ate crap at school because that's all they serve.
You know, in high school, probably every single day of high school, I ate those little chocolate Dolly mess and donut gems for lunch.
Struggling.
Yeah.
And I loved them. I'd have that and the Coke, and I was all set for the rest of the day. I'd take a little nap in the next period, but, you know, I was ready.
It
was always after lunch at school, you got tired around, like, 1:30, 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
And you need crap, like sugar-loaded crap, to keep you going until 3:30 rolled around.
You need
the hell out of there.
Because it's kind of a reward for having to sit through, like, P.E. with some kind of sadistic, perverted, pedophile
Illinois Nazi
coach.
But this whole place sucks. That's right, it sucks.
Yeah, this isn't Illinois, right?
Finish the game!
So here's an interesting story out of Austin, Texas, actually.
Ah.
Mike Sargent doesn't put much stock in karma.
Mike Sargent?
Yeah. Luck isn't his thing either. But in getting back a lost winning lottery ticket worth $25,000, a little of both may have come into play, along with some divine intervention. Like the lead character in the new NBC sitcom My Name is Earl, Sargent lost the scratch-off ticket moments after he realized he'd hit the jackpot, and though several incredible coincidences later, found it days later.
Ah.
Ain't no use running, fool. I know where your mama parks your house.
Sargent, a 51-year-old facilities specialist at AT&T, has demons in his past as well. Former drug addict and alcoholic, he admits being verbally abusive to his wife and two sons until he turned his life around 19 years ago, entering rehab and embracing his Christian faith.
Wow. Now, how come whenever... Okay, say you're this horrible person, you're a drinker, you're just a horrible person, alcoholic, beat your wife, tell your kid he sucks... But you always got to turn your life over to Christ to straighten your life out. They can't just do it on their own.
Don't be a cynical bastard.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I break your concentration?
I think in some people's lives, again, you know, this is coincidence. You know,
I'm just saying.
Whatever God you believe in, it doesn't say anything about gambling. God isn't going to help you win the lottery.
Right.
But
all I'm saying is sometimes I think that it's a crutch. Like, hey, I turned my life over to Christ. My life is back in order now. When it's
not. You know,
not.
I can agree that sometimes people use religion as a crutch.
Right.
But I think religion is a large part of a lot of people's lives, and I don't think it's any sort of crutch for them. I think it helps them live their lives. So I'm not going to get into the whole religious debate. We'll leave that alone.
Yeah, I'm not going to debate you, Jerry.
Yeah, cold,
you won't
Jerry.
Debate.
Wacko Jacko.
Ah, yes.
As Hard Coffee would call him. I would like to know who came up with Wacko Jacko and slapped him.
Wacko Jacko? I think it's like the British tabloids.
Yeah, it's like
that.
A current affair. Wacko Jacko's out of the garden.
The guy was gay. Gay.
No, I don't think he's gay, Foggy. I think he's a really disturbed pedophile.
Yeah. So Michael Jackson is trying
to
revive his career by releasing a single every week.
Huh?
The eccentric star is raiding his back catalog.
Where's the beat?
In a bid to get his ailing career back on track. The star will release one song every week for the next 5 months, starting with Don't Stop Till You Get Enough, which hit shops next month.
Good lord. So he's releasing old songs?
Yeah, the source Britain's Sun newspaper. Michael is determined to get back in the charts. He hopes his devoted fans will buy them all, even though they already own them if they're a fan.
Man, this is pathetic.
Earlier this month, the singer was at the center of a paternity riddle after ex-wife Debbie Rowe claimed he didn't father two of his children. Rowe, the mother of two of Jackson's three children, reportedly said Prince Michael Jr., 8, and Paris, 7, were conceived from a test tube, meaning the pop star isn't their biological father.
I knew it!
Yeah, somebody pull those kids away from him now, before it's too late. She was quoted in Ireland's Sunday World newspaper as saying, Michael knows the truth, that he isn't the natural father of Prince Michael Jr. in Paris. He has to come clean. She added, I have no information whatsoever about the identity of the semen donor for either child, as it was obtained anonymously from a semen bank under an agreement of confidentiality.
So basically, she got knocked up by some guy, but Michael Jackson paid her to have his children, and she never told the real father, most likely.
Who the hell knows? It's all so damn bizarre.
Yeah.
That is one big pile of shit.
Okay, so here's another story. Bay City, Michigan. A shoplifting suspect that is in jail after calling the police at a Meijer store
you
in
see,
Bay County.
We're on a mission from God.
Meijers are grocery stores with, like, a Target inside them. Store employees say two 19-year-old Bay City men walked away with several pieces of clothing yesterday. One of them left behind his cell phone. A state trooper answered when the suspect called to see who had his missing phone. The officer told him it would be waiting for him at the service desk. Police arrested the suspect when he showed up to claim the phone. They later recovered stolen items at his girlfriend's home in Bay City. Investigators are seeking charges against the second suspect. So this idiot steals clothes at a cheap grocery store / Kmart, whatever you want to call it,
yeah.
Leaves his cell phone and then calls it to see who has it.
And who was the dynamite.
Yeah, he's not a very good criminal.
No.
When are you criminals going to learn? Don't rip off Target.
Idiots.
Oh,
last story,
yeah.
And probably the most important.
Okay.
Patrick Swayze.
Ooh.
Has confessed.
Yeah. Nice.
He would love to make a third installment to Dirty Dancing.
A third?
The actor who shot to fame in the dancing movie said he'd consider reprising his role if the right offer came along.
Watch out
he
for
revealed,
snakes.
It's an interesting thought and definitely a possibility.
So basically
I'm
he's got a big bag of nothing.
Of offer.
Big bag of nothing?
I'm very hurt.
You guys thinking that?
The star also rubbished claims the film is one of the most sentimental movies ever made.
Am I hallucinating here? Just what in the hell do you think you're doing?
It did wonders for my career and still has a loyal following. Try asking the 100 Club in America, those people who've seen Dirty Dancing at least 100 times, if they think it's the hammiest movie ever. I guess he was in the second one. I never saw the second one. It's Havana Nights or something. But
I thought Roadhouse was the movie that made him a star.
You know what? If there's one movie...
Roadhouse 2.
there's one movie that needs a sequel, it's Roadhouse.
Hell yeah.
I would love to see a sequel to Roadhouse.
Do you remember his character name in Roadhouse?
Dalton.
Yeah, Dalton. Oh, man, that's a great movie.
Roadhouse is one of the greatest films ever made. I think it's an American classic.
Yes, I just programmed it on TiVo.
A throat-ripping good time.
Yes, it is.
Waiting for the DTS version.
There's that one part where he's fighting that guy and he goes, I used to F guys like you in prison. It's like, what?
Yeah.
I was like, okay.
Files accessed.
Okay.
Access denied.
Yeah. Alright everybody, it's time for Bill's DVD segment, where he talks about the latest DVDs coming out this week. Alright Bill, what do you got?
Ha cha cha cha. The DVD releases for Tuesday, December 13th, 2005, this coming Tuesday, or this week if you're listening.
Damn you, my guy, Bill!
Alright, we're going to start here with an excellent movie who, coincidentally, as we talked about earlier, The Office stars Steve Carell.
Oh.
Called The 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Ah, great movie, great movie.
Mm-hmm. It is being released in a unrated version with 17 minutes added back into the film.
Nice.
It has a couple extras that are interesting. It has additional deleted footage that was too dirty for the film. Good. It has the actor co-producer, Seth Rogen, the larger guy of the Friends.
Yeah.
Red hair, I think. He has a dinner with an adult film star named Stormy Daniels that they taped.
Nice.
It also includes a commentary track with the cast and director, Judd Apatow. Or Apatow. How do you pronounce that? Apatow? Apatow?
I always just say Judd Apatow. So. Mm-hmm. But I pronounce a lot of things wrong.
And which should be interesting, it includes a gag reel, an extended version of the You Know How I Know You're Gay scene, and feature called Line-O-Rama, which is alternate jokes from different scenes. Like, I guess they did a lot of improv while shooting the film.
Right. If you haven't seen the movie, it's a great movie. You should check it out. Steven, have you seen it yet?
No, I'm waiting for the DVD. I will get it.
Yeah, it's a very entertaining movie, very funny, very, although it deals with, you know, sex humor, it's not overly crass.
Yeah, it's not filthy or anything.
No, it's very
hello,
funny.
Mr. Fancy Pants.
We're going to file this next one under the double dip section.
All right.
Airplane, Don't Call Me Shirley edition.
Girls your age don't do things like that. You need an explanation?
Wow, that's coming out pretty soon after the last one, isn't it?
Yeah, the special edition of Airplane came out just last year, and I don't know what's any different or why they're doing this. It's just beyond me. So if you don't have Airplane yet and you want it, you might as well get the Don't Call Me Shirley edition.
You know what? I don't own it, and I love Airplane, so...
Save up for another movie?
Yeah.
Say that again, Steven?
That are the Zuckers trying to get money for another movie?
No, yeah.
I would assume, but who the hell's going to allow them to make a movie now?
Ooh, cookie.
After Basketball.
Was that the Zuckers?
Yeah, it was.
Zuckers?
Yeah, that David Zucker and Jim Abrams. Our next DVD for release December 13th, 2005... is the remake of the Walter Matthau classic, Bad News Bears, with Billy Bob Thornton and Greg Kinnear. I'm not really sure about this one. I've never seen it, and I think it's rated PG-13.
You know, it is a Richard Linklater movie, right?
Yeah, I believe it is, but to tell you the truth, if I have a feeling there's going to be another release of this film in an unrated version.
Well,
I just have an inkling. I don't have anything, you know, positive on it or any actual release news, but normally when they do a movie like this, I'm sure there's going to be another version.
The biggest crime of this movie that I read about is that they didn't try to trick it up at all. I mean, they did the exact same movie as the original, and it was like, what's the friggin' point, you know?
Next DVD is the Roger Corman classic, Death Race 2000, with David Carradine.
Nice.
Sylvester Stallone?
Yeah, but what cracks me up about this is the last time I saw it, Sylvester Stallone wasn't that didn't have that big of a part in it.
Right.
But, right, he does.
But he's on the cover of it.
Oh, yeah. So, I love when they do that.
Just a heads up for anybody that's a fan of the, you know, classic C-grade movies.
Hey, Boba Fett.
Here's, speaking of Sylvester Stallone, Fist, or otherwise known as F-I-S-T, starring Sylvester Stallone.
Great.
A crock of shit.
Probably good one of the worst movies I've seen. I just remember it involved... Wasn't it directed by Norman Jewison?
I don't know. That's one of those movies that would be like on... You know, HBO Family. I don't know.
It's just one of those movies from the 80s that just completely...
Anyone for penis?
It was just a complete joke.
Yeah.
You know, it had... I remember it had like Rod Steiger and Brian Dennehy and all these... I think it was even scored by Bill Conti. But it was just awful.
Yeah.
Next movie. I mentioned this, I think, last week or the week before in the holiday gift guide. Gallipoli, Special Collector's Edition.
Oh, yeah, Gallipoli, yes. The Peter Weir film starring Mel Gibson.
Yeah, with Mel Gibson and Mark Lee. An excellent movie. I'll just leave it at that. And it's cheap. It's only $9.
Really?
So if you liked it, get it.
Did they remix it in 5.1?
Yeah, they sure did.
Nice. It's a really good movie, Steven. You should check it out since you've never seen it.
How do you know I've never seen it?
Just go along with it.
Okay.
Or I'll take you to court.
All right. Next
You're
DVD.
You're spying on me.
This was an excellent series that ran on Bravo last year with Ewan McGregor and Charlie Borman.
What a colossal ripoff!
Oh,
called Long Way Round, where they travel 20,000 miles around the world. Just these guys and their cameramen, and it was really interesting and just a good show. And it's available here on the 13th for only $12. And for the $12, you get, you know, I think it runs around 350 minutes. So
wow,
quite a bang for the buck.
Have you seen it? It sounds intriguing.
Yeah, it was a really good show. I T-boat every episode, and
just an intriguing sensation.
Thanks, Data. And when it was released in the UK, I actually purchased the Region 2 DVD of it because I liked the show so much.
I think I'm starting to remember what this show is. It's him riding around on a motorcycle in one episode.
In all of them.
Oh, okay. I think I have seen at least one of these.
Oh, yeah. Brother.
Sorry.
It's quite interesting. Next DVD, this one's for Vanessa. Roll Bounce.
Roll Bounce.
Yes, Roll Bounce.
Roll Bounce. Roll Bounce.
The movie starring Bow Wow and Nick
Roll
Cannon.
Bounce.
Ah, Bow Wow.
Set in the 70s when roller skating to soul tunes and disco was a way of life.
Retarded.
So, that's coming out. Next DVD.
Boomstick? That's what I heard.
I don't believe he mentioned Boomstick.
Did Boomstick? That's what I heard.
No, Roll Bounce, not Army of Darkness. Next DVD, The Simpsons Complete 7th Season. If you've got the prior ones, get this one. You want to keep your collection going.
Go!
Here we have Sin City, recut and extended.
Oh, yes.
And unrated.
This is finally the one that I've been waiting to get. This is the one where he wired the theater for sound so you could hear the crowd.
Yeah, recut, extended, and unrated, separated into four stories, a total 147 minutes.
And this one has Jessica Alba naked, right?
I wish. Man. It's got the original theatrical
what
release.
What is your major malfunction, numbnut?
With commentaries from Robert Rodriguez and Frank Miller, Robert Rodriguez and Quentin Tarantino.
You know what I'm worried about? That's one of those things that you think might be exciting, but I bet you it's really boring.
Who knows? And the audio track aforementioned, the featuring the recording of the Austin premiere crowd.
Right.
It's got a lot of really great extras.
That's what I want for Christmas.
Hello. Last film... is a little film that, or last DVD is a little film that not a whole lot of people saw, but I enjoyed it. It has, it's called The Yards, and it's the director's cut of the film, starring Mark Wahlberg, Joaquin Phoenix, Charlize Theron, James Caan, Evan Burstyn. Excellent film, but that's it. That's all the DVDs for December 13th, 2005.
All right, Bill, thanks for doing the DVD segment, and...
I apologize for my voice.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things. You have the Evian bird flu, and...
Yeah, attacks the vocal cords first. Damn birds.
Man, I love Super Chicken. All right, guys, that's episode 15. I'd like to thank Steven, the pop culture zealot, from visiting us from Alaska. Well, I'm glad that you got to be on the show. You know, you wouldn't stop talking. It's just crazy. I didn't get a word in edgewise. And
my big fat mouth, yeah.
Bill, a sickly Bill, our friend, Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry historian, the homeless Mulberry historian, because his house is overrun with zombies, chose to be here on a day where he should be laying down, and I just want to thank him for that. And
not a problem.
And I know
it's my pleasure.
It was a better show because of that.
Worst episode ever.
Now, Foggy, that's just, you're being rude. All right, folks, thank you.
It's your show. You can insult it.
It's Foggy's the reason this show is a failure. That's all I got to say. This show's,
you know, I
hell.
Just don't think Foggy's.
He's a blockhead.
You blockhead.
All right, folks, thanks for tuning in to Nowhere in Mulberry Episode 15. If you'd like to send us an email, go to nimpodcast@gmail.com. Or if you wish, go to nowhereinmulberry.com and check out our forum. Also, we have a little phone number there. It's to our voicemail. It's 206-202-3491. Call in and tell us stuff about the show, you know, what you think about it, if you think we should talk more about Aunt B and Goober and Floyd the Barber. No, wait, this is Mulberry, not Mayberry, so I just want to get that through.
Oh, switch off.
Exactly, so I just wanted to let you know that. And
check out my blog, and there'll be pictures of Alaska.
Yeah, Steven is actually posting on his blog, which is,
no way! I haven't checked it in, like, months.
I'm just...
I'll have to check it out.
All right.
All right, everybody.
On the forum as well.
So, yeah, check out Steven's Alaskan photographs. All right, thanks, everybody, for being with me here at Nowhere Mulberry. See you next week, where Bill will feel better after he has some antibiotics.
Yeah, and booze.
I'll be back in the studio.
Yes, Steven will be back in the studio where he can not fall asleep. Where
and yawn.
Yawn in front of you and get picked on.
And predator snorts.
Now, Steven, do you think we should do more Mulberry skits where we talk to Aunt Bee and Goober and Floyd the Barber?
You know it.
And Barney Fife?
We got to get them on here.
What about Andy from Mayberry?
Yeah.
Dirty old horny McWackwack.
Or Andy from the Hollywood Saloon. We could always have him on.
I was bedraggled.
No, on that note, guys, let's end the show. I'll see you later, guys.
See you next week.
It's not finished! It's finished!